Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey and Better. Today, the franchise spotlight is on Eric Stites, founder and CEO of Franchise Business Review. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm great, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had to go back and look at the Social Geek show notes, looking in the vault to see when the last time you joined us here on Social Geek was. I can't believe it. It was 2016.
Wow.
Which, by the way, 2016 feels like that was about 20 years ago. So,
yeah,
a few things have happened since 2016 till February of 2020. So, welcome back to the show. I want to, you know, kind of find out what you've been up to and learn a little bit more about this Franchise Business Review hiring guide that you've published. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, as many listeners probably know, we've been doing franchise satisfaction research for the last 15 years. And over that time period, we've done a number of other custom projects for clients, looking at employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction, what have you. And we just had more and more requests on the employee side. And so last year, we kind of formalized it around a brand we call Franchising at Work to really look at corporate employee engagement. So basically people that work for franchise companies at headquarters or in field support, but, you know, those corporate folks. And we had an amazing response. We had over 250 brands take place. Or participate in the research last year. We've surveyed, you know, thousands of employees now, and particularly for those corporate employees, over 1,500 for last year's research, which led to this hiring guide. So, you know, really interesting stuff came out of it. And, you know, the timing, I think, is critical, just, you know, given the employment market in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting angle you're taking with this, looking at the corporate employees of a franchise system, because it feels like, especially in this current economy, it feels like that's one of the biggest problems a franchise system has. They can't find enough great talent. Every brand I know has job openings, and they're looking for people to fill them. Marketing operations, all of that kind of stuff. And it feels like the corporate folks at a franchise brand get a little left out of most of the conversations, because usually we're talking about the CEO, founder, and that sort of thing is the franchisor, and then all of the franchisees who have their own businesses out there. But behind every great brand, there's so many great support people that are needed.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you know, it really dovetailed nicely into what we were doing on the franchisee side, because so much of the research that we saw and the feedback that we got from franchise owners is, you know, specific to those kind of core support people and development people at the brand. You know, to your point, that don't always get the recognition they deserve and aren't necessarily, you know, on the podium when you go to all these different franchise events. So.
Right. So let's talk about some of the results you saw in the guide and in all of your surveys. Any key findings that really sort of jump out at you?
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway, certainly overall, things are very strong. 90% of people that completed the survey said that they found their jobs rewarding and satisfying.
Wow, so that's good.
You know, as a whole, as a whole, the franchise industry is doing well. That being said, there was definitely, you know, a couple of key areas that stuck out. We asked 24 core questions of people around engagement and satisfaction. and really those areas that kind of were rated the lowest, and again, this isn't rocket science. A lot of times it's similar to what we hear from franchisees too. A lot of these issues are things that brands can fix without a huge investment of, you know, capital. It's just, you know, best practices. So, mm-hmm. you know, some of the areas that really stuck out were clear communication from senior management, around vision and mission. It was rated very low. Recognition, you know, and to your point of a lot of these people that are doing the key work to support franchise owners at the corporate headquarters don't, you know, receive or don't feel they receive the recognition they deserve. Some of them mentioned that they're not getting the support to do their job well. And then compensation, which, mm-hmm. you know, no surprise, yeah. I think we all feel slightly undercompensated at times.
Yeah.
The interesting part, just to dive in on the compensation piece, and that is really, there's a lot more detail in the hiring guide around that. But, some of the key points there was, the big takeaway, I guess, was that most people said that a 10 to 15% bump in their salary is all they were looking for. So, you know, again, we're not talking about somebody that wants a $50,000 raise.
Yeah.
A little bit can go a long way. Some of the things that I guess we found, really kind of concerning were around, certainly the gender wage gap is alive and well in franchising. And specifically at the manager level, which is kind of the key role for a lot of these positions at corporate, men had an average median income 34% higher than women in those same roles.
That is shocking that we're still sitting here talking about that in 2020.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and again, I don't want to throw brands under the bus and the sky falling kind of thing. And, obviously there is systemic discrimination that happens, but, you know, there is a lot of research out there that shows that women tend to seek flexibility over compensation within their role. I mean, many are often the primary caregiver, whether it's with their own children or family that they're supporting.
Right.
Women also tend to be, less likely to negotiate for a higher salary than men. Again, there's a lot of different reasons that feed into that, but I think that's an issue. When we look at the roles within a franchise organization at the, those lower support roles and manager level roles, two thirds of those roles are filled by women. You got to really do that analysis within your own brand to see, what you can do to kind of correct that, to make sure that you're not, losing some of your best people for, seeking that 15, 20% bump in salary, or in this case, 30% bump in salary.
And, maybe that's where it gets fixed is brand by brand, heads up CEOs, if you're not paying people what they should be paid, especially in this economy, you're going to lose them. So maybe things will finally even out due to where we're sitting in this economy right now. But that is still a pretty shocking statistic though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the other kind of side of that too is, we looked at the gap between development and operations. And again, I don't think this is any big surprise for people in the franchise world, but the median compensation for development folks is 55% higher than operations folks. We talk to, franchisors all the time about looking at that within their systems. And, I know we all want to, compensate our sales folks to bring in the next franchisee and drive development.
Yeah. But,
you really have to look at the long-term life cycle of that franchisee. And, it's the operations people that are obviously going to ultimately make them successful long-term. And yet there's this huge gap between what we're, compensating development folks with, primarily because of large commissions and bonuses. Yeah. that the operations and support folks don't have the same access to.
Are you seeing anything? Let's jump away from compensation for a moment and go back to some of the other things that that were sort of standing out that are more leadership and cultural based. And it feels like those are things that could be fixed without having to write a lot of checks, maybe just change some things with the executive team and you know, find out some best practices from some other brands and things like that. Anything like that really jumping out at us too?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the communication piece is huge. And, you know, I think we all think we're great communicators, but the reality is maybe we are in our own heads, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily trickle down to the whole team.
Yeah.
You know, and that recognition piece, you know, that recognition is one of those areas that if you feel that you're receiving the recognition that you deserve, I mean, that can overcome a lot of compensation for sure. And that's really why people stay at companies.
You
know, feeling the love. And that's certainly easy to do. And making sure, you know, again, as the CEO of a brand, you may feel that you do a good job in that area, but, you know, is your whole team all the way down doing that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, really looking at, you know, how that plays out throughout your whole organization.
And it doesn't cost $1 million to make someone feel appreciated. So
it certainly doesn't. You know, so that's, you know, I think there's a lot of best practices out there, that are very cheap and easy to implement. And just a reminder of, you know, just put a reminder on your desktop of, you know, recognizing an employee today, you know, and saying,
yeah,
good job. And that goes a long way to making people feel, you know, that they are receiving that recognition that they deserve.
I think most of what you're finding so far is, I'm going to guess, things that you probably assumed you would find. Was there anything that jumped out that was a real surprise to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly the wage gap thing was, you know, we thought we'd find some of that, but the amount that we found surprised us, and it goes all the way up to the C-suite. You know, it certainly decreases, but even at the C-level, men are earning on average 15% more than women. You know, the Gen Z and the millennial thing was something that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about millennials over the years and their dissatisfaction. Well, you know, in our research, millennials are fine. You know, and again, you know, their satisfaction scores are high. You know, they like the roles that they're in. Gen Z, on the other hand, and again, you know, those are people that are, you know, really young on the 25 and under scale. They had the lowest satisfaction in our findings, and 2/3 plan to leave their company, leave their role within the next 2 years. So, again, we're spending a lot of time and money recruiting folks and some of this young talent out of college in many cases. And then, you know, to obviously invest all that time and money into those people and have them leave 2 years later is a huge loss for many brands. So, I mean, that's something, you know, certainly that you want to look at in, you know, and how you can, you know, really look at that increasing tenure, especially with your younger folks at the different brands that you happen to be operating in.
And I'm going to make a broad assumption here, but I'm guessing, especially with the younger folks in the survey, it's not as much compensation as it is culture.
Yeah, culture. You know, the big thing that came up in Gen Z, no surprise, is, you know, really around mission. And they, you know, again, there's lots of research out there that shows that they want to be with a mission-driven company and understand how their role ties into that. You know, certainly, you know, there is that recognition piece that's important to them, and they want to, you know, they want to run major projects without necessarily years of experience, which, you know, I think is just common of younger generations.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, those are very easily, you know, addressed. And I think that, you know, not only being good at explaining the why of the company and the, you know, the reason we exist and, you know, getting people excited to participate in that, but also having that clear path, that they can see a career path for themselves at the brand for a long time. You know, again, that doesn't take many resources to implement, and can save you, you know, huge dollars in turnover. You know, one of the other key findings that we saw that was related is the satisfaction with customer facing folks, customer service and customer support roles was the lowest of all the roles that we looked at. And again, when you think about, you know, from a business standpoint, who you want talking with, you know, customers, whether that end user customer or your franchisees, you want those folks to be the most engaged, the most satisfied, and keep those relationships strong. Yeah. So that's an area that, you know, a lot of people I think can benefit from doing an analysis and, you know, and finding what incentives and what recognition programs they can set up.
Start it from the ground up. Absolutely. And I think,
I think the
good news here is all of the things that a franchise brand needs to fix, especially for Generation Z employees and things like that. It seems like it's mostly built around being mission driven. And the good news is you need to make your brand mission driven anyway. If your employees are feeling that need, guess what? So are your customers. So are your franchisees. This is not something just to fix something in a silo at corporate headquarters. This is something that, if done properly, is actually going to grow your business and get you more customers. So, you know, that's where I see this in more of an optimistic light, that this is all doable for most brands, and it's also just a good idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, when you think of the money that you spend on recruitment and, you know, and the time that you spend interviewing folks and finding these people that, you know, to, if you can drop that percentage of turnover, you know, just a few points, I mean, you're saving thousands and thousands.
Yeah, and you could also be opening up more opportunity if you stop the turnover. You could be opening up more opportunity for customers, new franchisees, that kind of thing too, because people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust.
So. Yeah. It's, again, it's not rocket science. I mean, we all, we know how that engagement and satisfaction trickles down to the customer experience and, you know, and drives business. And, you know, and I mentioned earlier that we had 12 finalists. I mean, I'd like to, you know, definitely give them a shout out, because I think that these are I think that those are companies that we can learn a lot from and best practices and kind of, you know, see what they're doing. You know, a number of the brands that had very high satisfaction, Wildbirds Unlimited, Snapology, 1-800 Dry Clean, InExpress, Dreammaker Kitchen and Bath, Mosquito Joe, First Light Home Care, Big B Coffee, and then our five kind of top finalists, Jason's Deli, which had the overall best culture ratings. They're doing some amazing things. We do both their research for their corporate folks as well as their unit level employees. They're just doing an amazing job with their people. Burn Bootcamp, they had the best overall satisfaction, and they also had the best rating. We call it the Best Bosses Award for their mid-level managers, got the highest rating. Firehouse Subs had the best scores in leadership, that senior executive team. Don Fox and his team down there have done an amazing job, I think, from a leadership perspective. And then for those that are feeling uncompensated or, you know, lower on the compensation scale, Sport Clips was the brand that showed up as offering the best compensation packages for folks. And now,
awesome.
That's you know, both salary as well as benefits and other things that go along with that. So, I mean, I think those are some great brands. And again, I think many people are familiar with those brands and probably aren't shocked that they have great satisfaction and engagement with their employees. But, you know, I think we can learn a lot from some of these companies.
Well, heck yeah. I mean, you know, look at Mr. Gordon Logan. If you want to win the IFA Hall of Fame Award someday, set up a great brand that people feel like they're part of the mission and they're well taken care of. And I think that definitely shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Eric, let me ask you, outside of just these findings, you work with so many franchise brands, and you're talking to franchisors and franchisees literally 7 days a week sometimes, I think. What else do you see happening in the industry right now? Any trends you're spotting, either based on this study or just based on all of the work that you're doing with so many brands right now? Anything that we should be watching out for?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it does, I think, tie into this whole current strong economy that we're in. And so, you know, everybody we talk to, it's all about building the best team and finding the best people. And that goes both for employees at the corporate level, at the unit level, and, you know, in finding franchisee candidates. I know many of the brands you work with, you hear the same thing, like, you know, franchise recruitment has become more and more challenging over the last couple of years. You know, finding candidates that want to leave their well-paid job is challenging. Obviously there's more and more competition out there. So, you know, the more that companies can do to kind of highlight, their culture and their teams, you know, both at the corporate level and at the unit level, is important. You know, the other piece to this, which, you know, wasn't kind of our original plan, but, it was a nice benefit that came out of this was, because of the whole, issue around franchisor and franchisee and employees and all the, you know, litigation issues or potential, laws around who the employee actually works for, whether it's the brand or for the franchisee. You know, our research is a way that the brand can kind of keep a good eye on, you know, employee satisfaction across the brand by having a third party do that research through the franchisees, but then have it roll up at the corporate level. So, you know, we can do that research across the whole network, basically doing the individual employee research at the unit level with each of the franchisees for their employees, but then be able to create that benchmark for the whole brand. And so each franchisee can see, you know, how they're doing and then how their data can apply to the whole or compares to the whole system, as well as, you know, the industry at large. So it's kind of a cool thing. And, you know, obviously I think there has been, you know, starting probably 5-6 years ago, franchisors have taken a little bit more of a hands-off approach when it comes to employee-related things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best brands are figuring out ways to stay engaged at that level because they know that, you know, they know that the success of their franchisee is dependent on them recruiting and retaining the best people. And they need to be able to provide those resources to assist as much as they can in those areas.
Yeah, and nothing like a little third-party validation for the franchisees and now for the employees and for everybody else. You've got some more awards coming up with the Franchising at Work Awards. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're continuing our research. Basically, our deadline for the 2020 Franchising at Work Awards is the end of March. March 31st. So any brand that wants to participate can simply go to franchisingatwork.com and register there. We actually opened it up this year to not only franchisors, but franchisees and suppliers in the industry. So Jack, you can sign up your company as well.
All right. Challenge accepted, my friend. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we want to obviously do everything we can to promote those companies in the franchise world, whether they're brands, franchisees or suppliers that are doing a great job with their people and celebrate those cultures. So, And, you know, obviously anybody can reach out to me directly as well if they have questions about how to get involved.
Okay, cool. And we're going to be right back with some contact information for Eric right after this word from Better, offering tools to manage clients, sales orders, and job schedules alongside general day-to-day operations and delivering a complete business management solution for small multi-location franchise owners. With the ability for cloud-based and mobile usage, Better allows users to access and manage business operations from anywhere and at any time using mobile or tablet devices. Learn more at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. That's thebettersoftwarecompany.com for Better. Eric, thanks so much for joining us today and sharing some of the findings from the hiring guide. If any of our listeners have more questions for you or they want to get a copy of the guide, where can we send people?
Yeah, I appreciate being on. And anybody that wants a copy of the guide can go to our website at franchisebusinessreview.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link that says Franchisors, and they can click on that, and that'll take them to our tour site. I think you're also going to include a link with this podcast. So
yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Click directly on that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and probably the easiest thing to do, anybody wants to get the guide or get additional information about franchising at work awards, they can certainly, as I said, just go to franchisingatwork.com or just send me an email at Eric, E-R-I-C, at franchisebusinessreview.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here today, and we will look forward to seeing you at a franchise event in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. And thanks to all of you for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.